Let me introduce our speaker, Carl Kirby, and he is probably known to some of you and maybe brand new to others, but this is our first time ever having him here, and I'm delighted. It's been great to get to know him already. If you did not come in that entrance, you would not have seen the book table that's out there. I don't know how many are left, but those are there with suggested donations, and there's a place there where you can drop that in. You may not know that this man was in the air traffic control industry and was within probably 4 years of retirement there, but sensed God moving in his life. And then started with Answers in Genesis, and you may have been familiar with hearing him speak in that area, that ministry. 2011, he left that to just pick up this burden that was increasing to how do we impact younger generations, those that are products of our culture. How do we challenge worldviews? And so Reasons for Hope had its beginnings there, and now they've got four different speakers. And Carl is going to be at Camp Fairwood this week with our teens, and that's a good thing. But I wanted you to know he's coming as a man that loves God, loves his word, and correctly understanding it. He's married, has two children and five grandchildren, and I know. Oh, by the way, disclaimer, a couple of weeks back, we played one of those videos from Debunked, and some people said, does he really talk that fast all the time? No. And he could. And he has that much to share, but at any rate, we are privileged to have him here today.
Well, good morning, everybody. That was lame. Good morning. There's more than 10 people in here. Thank you. I am a weird one, yes, but I'm a camp speaker. Hello. If you're going to speak at camp, you got to be weird or else you're not going to make it. So, yes, I will try and tone it down a little bit for you guys this morning. Now, there's a young lady. Yeah, there you are. I told you that I was going to give you a sticker. Okay, here you go. Sir, can I ask you to be a gentleman? I'm going to throw this to you. Yep. And I need you to take it back to the young lady. Where is she? Over there in the pink. And you as well, because you were engaged as well. If you would take it to those two young ladies, I promised them a sticker and they didn't come up to me, they're going to get their sticker. Because if you get engaged with me in the camp, you get a sticker. So thank you, sir, for being a gentleman and helping me like that. I'm excited about the camp, to be very honest with you guys, right? I love getting the younger generation out, going after things. We're going to go after issues, because let's be honest. We just got done singing this song, right, about God's love never failing. Do you know how hard that is for people in our culture to understand that concept? Not trying to get morbid or down on you here for a second, but I just got to tell you, from a young man whose parents divorced when I was 13, dad disappears and I see him maybe twice the rest of his life, to sing about a father whose love never fails and never runs out of me, very hard for me to comprehend. You got to take one too. Thank you. Right? Very hard for me to comprehend and understand. But this generation, even more so, is having a problem with this. So we're going to go after, can they trust the Bible? Is it the Word of God? Does it deal with real world issues? Pray for these youth this week. They're going to need it because I'm coming after them, right? So here we go. This morning, I want to come after you all, though, because, look, I have to start this off. I'm too heavy to tap dance. If I tried tap dancing, I would break an ankle. I'm just a straightforward guy. I grew up around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. You think I'm joking? I'm not. My father was a professional wrestler, and I literally grew up around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. So trust me when I tell you that IQ is not stressed in the home of a professional wrestler. You know what you're in for. We're going to talk about becoming bold today, and hopefully I can encourage you in that endeavor and encourage you to trust the Word of God. I'm going to start with prayer here. Father, I give this to you and ask that you would do something with it. I thank you for the folks that are here. I thank you for a church that is reaching out to their community and loving on people and helping to equip them, to prepare them to be a light in the darkness. And Father, that's what we are. We're called to be a light on the hill, to shine so that those around us can see. And boy, is it dark right now. Don't let that get us down, because greater are you who is in us than he who is in the world. And Father, that means the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. Can't hide anymore. So help us to not hide. Help us to become bold. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. One of the greatest privileges of what I do is I get to travel quite a bit. And I got to go to a really neat place a few years ago for the first time. I've been there a number of times since. But the first time I went there, Molokai, Hawaii, it was ministry. Thank you. Most of you are like, yeah, I want some of that ministry. Come on over, man. It's an amazing place, wonderful place to go do ministry. I was at Molokai Baptist Church the first time, and that's where I go typically every time. But I was inside. I'd set everything up, got everything working. The worship team came in, and they're setting everything up. So I walked outside, and as I walked out the front door of Molokai Baptist Church, I took this picture, and I was just blown away. And this doesn't do it justice. I wish you could see it full size, right? The colors were just beautiful. I took the picture back in, and my assistant and her husband and my wife were with me on this trip, and my assistant immediately looked at that picture and said, what a great picture of the cross. Oh, yeah. I got to be honest. I didn't see the cross when I took the picture. My focus had been on the rainbow. Now, the reason I show that to you, because there is actually a purpose. The first thing I want to suggest to you when it comes to becoming bold is that the answer can be right there in front of us, and we can miss it because we're focused somewhere else. That same year, I got to go to Saskatoon, Canada, and I had never heard of Saskatoon, Canada, but when I got there, I had a wonderful time, beautiful people, sweet people, finished up the speaking, I got back home, and probably a month later, I'm watching the news one night, and there's a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada on the news. I know where that is. You guys remember seeing the police car? You don't. I'm looking at your faces. I recorded it. It's awesome. You got to see this. You don't remember seeing that on the news? Well, it was CNN, so it might be fake news, but I don't know. I'll put it to you like this, though. There's a reason for it. Yes, it's not a Canadian, it's like actually a Canadian Midas Tire commercial. It's not a real police car chase in Canada. But I use it for a very specific reason. Point number two, the answer could be right there in front of us, we miss it. Point number two, the answer could be pretty simple, and we make it a whole lot more difficult than it needs to be. Police officers' job, they need our prayers, they need our support. I'm not bashing or diminishing. They need our prayers, they need our support. Straightforward job, though, protect and serve. That is a perfect example of a bad day for the criminal. Car stuck, tires spinning. All the police officer had to do was get out, walk up to him, 6 feet, you're under arrest. He didn't do it. He got out and he pushed his car. I think it's the same way when it comes to this issue of becoming bold. We need to look at the answer, it's right there in front of us, and we need to keep it simple. James 1:5 says this, that if you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Hello? Ask who? This to me is a key to understanding how we can be where we are today. I want you to think about this for a second. Approximately 400,000 churches across the nation of America. There's more Christian shirts, Christian shoes, Christian wristbands, Christian music, Christian TV, Christian, you know, you name it, we got it as Christian, right? And for all of our Christian stuff, you tell me, is America becoming more or less Christian every day? There's approximately 5,000 first-run movie theaters. Do you know what I mean by a first-run movie theater? When a brand new movie is released, it can open in a maximum of about 5,000 movie theaters. Which one is impacting this younger generation more? 400-plus thousand churches or 5,000 movie theaters? Guys, something's going on. And I want to suggest to you that a part of the reason why the 400,000 churches in part are not reaching the generation is because of this right here. If you lack wisdom, ask God. I can just be honest with you and tell you that in all of my travels, 230 plus days a year on the road, church after church, Christian group, small group, home church, you name it, I do it, that many times I don't see people sitting in pews asking God for wisdom, they're asking man. Let me take you down to the local Christian bookstore. Carl, you're attacking me. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian bookstore owner. You're attacking me. No, I'm not. But here's a problem. When we turn to man's wisdom over God's word, we have a problem. Yes, I love all the man's stuff to help me. I'm in apologetics, and there's wonderful publications on these things. Helps me. But if I'm not putting the word before all of that stuff, there's a problem. And far too many times, I see people asking man what he thinks, and, well, what does this verse mean to you? To be blunt with you, I don't care what it means to you. And you shouldn't care what it means to me. We should be asking, what does this verse mean in context with the culture, with everything that was going on, getting in and studying the word. But we're not asking God that giveth to all men, liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask, this is the key to why I don't think we're asking, in faith, nothing wavering. You see, faith is that problem. Christian, all we have is faith. And faith is bad, blind faith. Christians have a blind faith. Do you know that biblical faith is nothing, nothing like blind faith? You know what blind faith is? Oh, you're going to see an example of it in a second. Blind faith is not Christianity. The biblical word for faith is something that is rock solid. And I put it like this. God has done this. He's done this. I've seen this. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. He tells me that he's going to do this. My faith in this is based on all of this over here. Not just, I'm stepping off here hoping there's no gravity and I'm going to walk okay. No. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is rock solid. And what happens when you waver? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to suggest to you a part of the reason why we see what we see in the culture today with 400,000 churches and Christianity being invisible is because we have many people sitting in pews that are double-minded. They're trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God. And those two foundations are not the same. One changes every time they find a new rock somewhere. Everything we've known to be a fact is now no longer true because we found a new rock. This one doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. His word is true. When I start with that and I go to the world that I live in, boy, what I see in the world is consistent with this one. But if a Christian won't put both feet firmly on the word of God, why should the world want anything to do with it? 50 to 88% of the younger generation raised in the church gone by the time they're age 18. And I don't think we're losing them. I don't think we ever had them. And by the way, where we lost them is kind of intimidating. Elementary, middle, and high school. But they're sitting in our youth group. They're sitting in our Awana clubs. They're sitting in, yeah, but mentally they've already checked out. Elementary, middle, and high school, 87, 88% identified. That's where they started walking away mentally. College was only 11%, and that was just because now they're no longer in the home and they're going to do what they want to do. The fact that you guys are pouring into this younger generation, praise God. The fact that I saw as many hands go up from your youth group that are going to camp this week, praise God. Mature generation, hear my heart. If I never had to talk to you all again, I'd be fine. This younger generation, they need you though. So I want to step on your toes this morning as well because they need you. This generation is under attack now more than any in the history of our world. And Satan doesn't play fair. We need the body of Christ rallying around this younger generation, pouring into them, and helping them. Genesis 3:1 gives us the whole history of where we started falling apart. Did God really say that? A simple question. This isn't like the questions that I get when I go onto college campus. Well, if God could do anything, could God create a rock so big he couldn't move it? How many angels could dance on the head of a pin? Do you know how I respond to those questions? Would you like to hear? I can skip it, but would you like to hear? What does purple taste like? What does red smell like? Well, that's a stupid question. So is yours. You want to play games? Do it on somebody else's dime, man. You get serious? Let's go. I'll give you all night long if you're serious. You want to play games? My time's valuable. Right? I think we have to do that. What we have is not, it costs the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be embarrassed by that? No. I'm going to diminish that? No. This is serious. You want to play games? Do it on somebody else's dime. You get real? Come on, let's go. I'll give you the whole day. I really will. But I see this generation more and more asking questions. And unfortunately, it still happens. I see this sometimes, even in the camp last week when the young people talked to me. In the church, many times we create an environment where it's almost like a bad thing to ask questions. Can I say to you that the church has got to be the place where we can come and ask the questions? this has got to be the place. Come, let us reason together. We have to create that environment that we can ask those questions. Let's go for those things. We have to deal with it, because I'm telling you, if we're not dealing with it, the world is. And what the world has given them is not good. So day one on a camp that I'm speaking at, when it's our camps, I hand out index cards. Write down the questions that are keeping you from selling out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Write them down, turn them in, because during this week, I'm pulling and we're going. Typically, many camps, we add an extra session where it's just pulling questions and going. It's just a Q&A. Voluntary. Give you a real world example. A church, big one, Iowa, big one. Carl, can you give me an extra session? No. We're booked and all we have is the free time in the afternoon. Okay, give me a totally voluntary free time in the afternoon where I say, hey, look, we're going to pull questions and go. You come if you want. You don't have to come. No pressure. 400 kids in this camp. How many kids do you think ended up coming to the Q&A session? Beautiful weather, by the way. No, not hot, not burning, not raining, right? How many kids do you think ended up coming to the session out of 400? 275. I'm not that good. I'll go for 3/4, right? Guys, you think this generation doesn't care? They care deeply. But we've got to get real with them and give them some solid application. So here's the questions I get. I mean, come on, Carl, or even the statements. You can't believe in a God. There's no evidence for God. Have any of you ever had that said to you before? There's no evidence for God. Anybody? One hand? I'm telling you, man, I always heard that Wisconsin was like so tough for Christianity. And I come here and I've got like two people that have had somebody say that, well, there's no evidence for God before. I need to move here. I get it quite a bit on the college campuses. So you've been prepared. You've seen it debunked before. So you're already wired for it. So I'm going to show you a debunk to answer that question. Is that okay? All right. Put your seatbelt on, because here we go.
Lots of people say there's no evidence for God. Well, we're going to knock that one out in three. I'm just going to have to keep it simple, throw in the old 1-2 combo, get in and out real quick, and let you fine folks chat all about it, okay? Punch one I'm going to call the info uppercut. When's the last time you walked into a library and asked, hey, where are all the books that have been written by mindless products of natural laws? The librarian would probably laugh at you and tell you that no such books exist. They don't exist because they can't exist. Why not? Because first of all, it's just common sense. The words that form the message in books always originate from a person with a brain. Or to say it a bit more scientifically, the message of the book, the purpose, comes to be understood by the orderly placement of the words, design, and information. Ah, information. Now, anytime we find info, these basic laws always apply. Number one, matter doesn't spontaneously produce information. And number two, only a mental source, intelligence, can generate new creative information. In other words, just like those books that couldn't originate without a mind, neither could life. Why not, you ask? Because we know that DNA contains information. Therefore, the laws of information science apply, which means the information in DNA couldn't have spontaneously generated, and that a mind is behind the information. Period. No exceptions. Look at it this way. The simplest life form we know of is an amoeba, and it contains as much information in its DNA as 1,000 complete sets of Encyclopedia Britannica. So, are we to believe that there's no way a message in a library book could spontaneously generate, but far more complicated messages in DNA that contain 1,000 times more information could have? Not likely. You see, when it comes to life or anything else that contains information, the laws of information science confirm the necessity of a creative mind. And guess what? In the very first book of the Bible, it just happens to mention that. In the beginning, God created. Bam. Uppercut lands on the chin. And now here comes the indefensible head blow. We'll call this the not a big bang bing swing, the KO to the claim that there's no evidence of God, the law of causality, left hook of doom. It goes like this. Everything that had a beginning had a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe had a cause. Now, either something caused the universe to come into existence, or nothing caused it. Huh. I might not be the smartest guy behind the telescope, but honest, practical, everyday thinking's gonna lead me to the former. You have to work pretty hard to conjure up a way that nothing did it. You see, it's pretty improbable, nigh impossible, to account for design, information, and cause if the universe just exploded from nothing. Smack! And while we're on the topic, where did the matter come from that exploded? Are we really to believe that there was nothing and then it exploded, and now the exploded nothing is something, and we just happen to be smart enough to discover and understand the very laws that prove the opposite? And if the general understanding of the law of cause and effect is true, how can matter come from a lesser cause like nothing? I mean, come on. I don't have a bunch of letters after my name, but even a monkey knows better. And yeah, I snuck in a couple of extra jabs in there, so sue me. Now for some parting words from our sponsor, the Bible. It tells us in Romans 1:20 that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. It also says that people actually know the truth, but they reject it, which explains why even though there's overwhelming evidence that there is a God, evidence won't convince the unwilling. Sad but true. So there you have it. With just a couple of meaningful blows, the claim that there is no evidence for God is down for the count, mi amigos. In other words, it's been debunked. Adios.
So I was watching faces as that was going, and there were a few frozen faces like, what just happened? That is way too much information, way too quickly, intentionally so. I told the first group, and it's a truth. What I read is that this younger generation, who I'm trying to reach, has a 2.2 second attention span. Are you kidding me? 2.2 second attention span? You think the devices aren't having an impact on them? It is, right? So I'm trying to reach them. But I won't water down, I won't compromise, but I will adjust the way that we deliver the message to try to get them to pay attention. And by the way, the 2.2 seconds is supposedly less than a goldfish. I read the report. Goldfish has a 3 second attention span. I'm like, who does that testing? And how much of our tax dollars went into that testing? For what end? A goldfish. 3 second attention span. What's it gonna do? I don't know, I don't get it. But anyway, was it done well enough at least that you would watch it again to try to get a little more information from it? Anybody? Oh, that's much better than the first group, thank you. Was it done well enough that you're having a conversation with somebody and wow, out of the blue, it's never happened to you before, they say, "What? But there's no evidence for God." And you would then say, hey, I've got a short video, can I show it to you? And you tell me what you think about it and you'd be willing to show it. Anybody? If I give it to you for free, would you take it? Yeah, see, free typically even gets a little bit better response than that. That was only about half of you. How many of you in here have a smart device? Anybody got a smart? I'm shocked. Hands aren't going up. Take your smart device out. I know it's church, it's Sunday. I have a special dispensation. I'm going to show you how to get the debunks out that I put out. You're going to get them early. Next debunk is dealing with Lucy, our supposed evolutionary ancestor, Lucy. And you'll get it a week before we release it to the general public, and then I'll show you how to get the current one. So you're going to send a message. Go to your messaging software. On a real phone, you hit the green icon thing up there. Google Play, Google, I can't help you. I don't know what it looks like, but it works the same. You hit your messaging software. On Apple, you hit the pencil and paper thing. It takes you to where you're sending a message. Yes, we're sending a message. It's cool. The message is going to go to the recipient 51555. That's who you're sending the message to. The message simply reads, very easy, OMM stands for One More Matters. One More Matters. We're trying to reach one more camper, one more person on the street. One More Matters. OMM space, don't write space, just hit the space bar. I've seen it all. OMM space Carl. Now, when you send that message to 51555, you're going to get a message back. And it will have a link on there. It's really very simple. The message will come back and it'll look like that. You hit that link and it will take you to this landing page, okay? You hit that, it's gonna take you to this landing page. On this landing page, look, if you wanna help us reach one more, yes, I'll give you the opportunity to donate on there, but you don't have to do that. If you can, thank you. But if not, scroll down and just underneath that is this right here. Join the debunk team. Put your name and your email. That's it. And when you submit it, you're going to get a message back telling you that you've been subscribed. And now you will get the future debunks before I release them to the general public. You're a debunk defender and it's totally free, but not totally free. Notice I waited till most of you were typing this in. Here's the cost. You promise to pray for us so we can keep making these things and giving them away, and you promise to use them, okay? And then right underneath, keep scrolling down on that landing page, and here are two logos. One is good, one is bad. You make your choice. The good one, you push it, it takes you directly to the App Store to download our app where all of the 24 current debunked videos are on there free of charge, including Debunk TV. including a Glad You Asked TV show, including Just for Kids, where there's art lessons for children, teaching about animals as you're learning how to draw the animals, a one-month devotional, parents, a one-month devotional where you watch a 90-second video, questions are in there based on the video, the answers are in there for you, hello, doesn't get any easier than that, and a coloring sheet, so if you got the ADD gang, of which I am one, they can do something with their hands while you're talking to them. And it's all in there, free of charge, under Just for Kids. Dark Side, it's got the same thing, but I'm not into it, okay? Just saying. Now, there's another way that I will answer that question when I have people come up and challenge me. Well, there's no evidence for God. Really? This is what I'll do, so I'll just try it on you. There's no evidence for God. Really? Can I show you a short video? Can I show you a short video? Oh, okay, thanks. I want to show you a short video, and tell me what you think about this.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it! Bring it!
Booyah!
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 Yes, I am that guy. I have it on my phone. We're talking about evidence for God, and you're showing a Tostitos chip commercial? Yes, I am. Because I'll ask you what I asked them after showing it to them. Is there anybody in here who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Anybody? Oh, thank you. Those folks are really hard to have conversations with. And I'm telling you right now, there are more and more of them on the college campuses. It's getting crazy. Is there anybody who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips doesn't like the way that it looks anymore so it can change its shape all by itself? Nobody? Thank you. You're like, Carl, that's ridiculous. Oh, okay, okay. If it's so ridiculous to believe that over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen, oh, hold up. Take a listen. You think we got a problem? This is the alternative.
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So it's ridiculous to think that a bag of chips can talk or change its shape, but is science to teach that hydrogen gas can change itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and I? That's science? No, that's science fiction. If you think nothing can turn into hydrogen gas to blow up to become everything, I say, look, you want me to give up on the Lord Jesus Christ because you got gas? They're smarter than the first group. They caught it. The first group didn't catch it at all. I mean, I do that. You want me to give up on God because you got gas? You might want to try Beano, but I'm not going down that road. I'm just telling you. Over the course of 14 billion years makes a whole lot more sense than in the beginning God created. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Look, guys, if you think we have a problem because we believe in God, the alternative is that, and you want me to give up on God because of that alternative, I've got one word for you. One word if you think I'd give up on God because you got gas. One word.
Inconceivable!
Millennials get that. And by the way, I found this guy's baby picture. Dude looks the same. I'm just telling you, he looks the same. But Carl, everybody knows, if there's a God that created everything, then who created God, huh? Huh? Got you now. Mic drop, boom, right? Anybody? Anybody ever been challenged with that one? Oh, the same two people. No. Well, here's your answer. You downloaded the app. Just go to Debunked, watch number 13. I can't show them all to you, all right? We only got so much time. But the answer's there, and it's not that complex. It's really quite simple. But let me take you out, because we're dealing with this Becoming Bold issue, and I want to show you what we run into out on the streets. One of the ministries that we do is we call it Mic'd Up. We train the 20s and the teens. We train them how to go out on the street and engage people in conversations. And look, this isn't arguing. This isn't fighting. This is engaging in conversation. I'm a firm believer that evangelism is a conversation, not a presentation. And when you can just have good, open conversations with people, it's amazing what good questions will do. So I want to show you a couple men on the street. Well, just one man on the street interview because of time. But let me show you a man on the street interview where the young lady that I've had the privilege of pouring into now, and she's running this whole part for me, is Gabby on the left up there. She's in Georgia, and she's interviewing, I'm calling her Abigail. That's not her real name, and I've covered her face for a reason. The first group didn't get to see this, so you'll understand why I'm covering her face. This is not about trying to mock. This is not about trying to ridicule. It's not that. Good questions challenge us, all right? So, Miss Abigail, I'm going to read these first ones to you for time because it's right long. Do you read the Bible? No, I don't read the Bible. Does the Bible contain mistakes or errors, Miss Abigail? Yes, every written publication has mistakes and errors in it. Can you tell me any of the mistakes and errors in the Bible, Miss Abigail? No, I don't know the Bible that well. Okay. Do you believe in evolution? Yes, I'm a firm, quote unquote, I'm a firm believer in evolution. Can you give me any evidence to prove that evolution is true? Well, no, I don't really know science that well. So the Bible is full of errors, you don't know any, and you're a firm believer in science, but you don't have anything to back up your position. Faith, you want blind faith? There you go. That is blind faith. That is not biblical faith. No, I can't give any evidence. Abigail, how did life come from non-life? Evolutionary motto, you got non-life, it turns into life. How'd that happen? No clue. I think I learned about it in junior high, but I can't remember. She did not learn about it in junior high. There is no answer to that question. None. Matter of fact, when I let the really smart guys talk, which I will for the high schoolers this week, when we deal with how did nothing turn into something, I'll show them the smart guys and let them give their explanation on how it happened. It's a joke, but I won't do it to you. After being asked simple questions about her faith, please, this is not the intent. I want you to hear what she said. And this is just genuine, nice conversation, asking questions. Listen to what happened.
Oh my gosh, I don't know anything.
No, it's like
I feel like an idiot.
Look, I'm not trying to make people feel bad, but you know what I do want to do? I want to challenge them to think. Because guys, here's what I found after years of doing this man on the street stuff. Everybody believes something, but very few can tell you why they believe what they say they believe. And I'm talking Christians, non-Christians. Because when I get a Christian, I'm asking very point blank questions at their worldview and they stumble terribly. I've got the videos. I won't do it to you. We believe. Why? Well, because. What? You think that's going to work in this environment? Well, no, Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Does Jesus love us? Absolutely. He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he came and he died on a cross for us. But that same God who loved us that much commanded you and I to study to show ourselves approved and to be able to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within us. And this culture is begging for it. I'm not trying to make people feel like an idiot. If you downloaded the app, let me make you aware of one thing. I didn't do this in the first session. If you go to the merch tab, see, you're trying to sell me. No, I'm not. Go to the merch tab. Hit the merch tab at the very bottom. You're going to see a tab at the bottom that says free PDFs and booklets. One of the lessons that I'm doing with the kids this week is dealing with our supposed evolutionary ancestor, Lucy. Lucy Unlinked is in there. Free PDF, secular sources showing you exactly what it is and what it is not. You can use this. If you're homeschooling in here, you can use it in there. The other book, that's one of the books that we have on the questions that I ask, 28 of them in a book. It's out there for suggested donation, but I'm not trying to sell you. Here's what I'll be doing with your youth this week. I'm going to challenge them to think. Christian and non-Christian, do we all have the same stars? That was lame. Do we have the same stars? Do we have the same rocks? Do we have the same people? Why do we understand and explain the evidence so differently then? It's not an evidence problem. It's an interpretation of evidence problem. That's a worldview problem. So I'll illustrate that point for you like this. How do the balls roll uphill? Because I'm nice, I'll help you. There's no magnets pulling them uphill. There's no air blowing them uphill. There's no strings blowing them uphill. There's no reverse photography. You see, the one thing that I will do to your youth this week that are there is I'm going to challenge them to question even me, especially me. We need to question the question because, you see, I can ask a question in such a way that you can't give a proper response. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? The question is, are the balls rolling uphill? That is a very good question. And you would win a sticker if you answered or asked that. Take a look. Exact same evidence. Let's take a look at it from a different perspective. And I'll ask the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Now hear my heart. 80 to 85% of the Christian homes send their children to the government school, right? I'm not attacking, I'm just stating a fact. 80 to 85% of Christian homes send their children to a government school that teaches them their children a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry, that totally undermines the Word of God. That 900 hours a year is reinforced with 936 hours a year of video games. Yeah. Which is reinforced with 1,064 hours of screen time, which is increasing, by the way, of which all of those mechanisms are teaching a way to think. And we're going to overcome all this screen time because we're going to bring our children to church for an hour a week. Oh, yes. Seriously? Hour a week, you're going to overcome all that? Ah, sorry, your kids were in Sunday school. 2 hours a week. Yes. Sunday evenings. Oh, you still have Sunday evening? Oh, Carl, don't go there. We do small groups. Okay. 3 hours a week. Youth group, 4 hours a week. And you don't want to talk to me about youth group. I mean, no disrespect. All right. I know Mr. Kodiak, Pastor Kodiak is not doing this, but I'm going to tell you an experience that I've had. Just one. I've got a bunch. Youth pastor warming the youth group up for Carl Kirby to come up and speak. I need 6 volunteers. I get the 6 volunteers. They come up. We have a table. Sit down at the table. Take your sock off. Take your sock. Put it over a can of Coke that has been opened. I'm going to give $20 to the first kid who chugs the can of Coke through the dirty sock. But wait, there's more. Take your Coke and pass it to your right. I'm now going to give $20 to the first kid who chugs the can of Coke through the dirty sock of their neighbor. Do you think the youth did it? They're stupid. They did it. My grandchildren get so bad at me. Dad, Grandpa, that's a bad word. They're stupid. If you're drinking a can of Coke through the dirty sock of a neighbor, you're stupid. There's no other word for it. Bad word or not. That's the way youth group is warming up youth for me? Guys, I got to apologize to you. What? First thing I got to do is apologize to you because your youth leader just taught you to prostitute yourself for $20. If you will drink a can of Coke through a dirty sock of a neighbor for 20, I'll give you 30. Huh? What will you do for me if I give you 40? What's your price? Do you understand you're a child of the King? Christ loved you so much that he came and he died on a cross for you. And you just diminish yourself for $20? Don't let any man, any individual ever diminish you again. You think Carl's ever been invited back to that youth group? No. Camps. Guys, there's camps that won't let me come anymore. We'll see what happens this week. Because they've done the same thing. Eat the gum out of my mouth. $20. What is it about $20? I call it out. Look, if you think you're going to overcome all of this focused indoctrination with that, we wonder why we're losing 50 to 88% of the kids. I don't. We're not losing them. We never had them. They weren't taught how to apply their faith. They were taught do's and don'ts, box checking, ritual. I grew up in it. I knew ritual better than anybody. Stand up, sit down, kneel, offering plate. I had the ritual down. And every week we finish, a mighty fortress is our God. Yeah, I got it. Every week. But did I know Jesus Christ? No, there's a major difference between ritual, box checking, and Jesus Christ. These kids need to know application. Let me give you some. They're learning a secular history of astronomy. Big bang, given enough time, right circumstances, nothing turns into something. That's all it takes. Does the Bible have a history that deals with astronomy? And the answer is yes. Think about it. God said, that needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian. God said, he said what? That he created the earth on day one. He created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. That's biblical history. That deals with astronomy. Now, when I start with that history and then I go put application to it and I go to the world that I live in, does it fit? Is it consistent with, or does it contradict what God said? Simple illustration. Do you know how many observable stars there are in the sky? Observable stars. It's a big number. It's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. And I'm still struggling with this. I'm like, who invented counting that high? You're telling me that cavemen who are knocking each other in heads with clubs are learning how to count to 7 followed by 22 zeros? Do you know how big that number is? That number is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. There are more observable stars than grains of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. Those are the ones we can see. And you're not impressed. They're not impressed either. First group wasn't impressed. You shouldn't be impressed, because it's actually 10 times more stars than grains of sand. And there is no known mechanism to make a single star. If you think Big Bang explains how you can make a star, I'll give you all the gas you want, blow it up. You are not making a star, you're making a mess. And you still didn't answer where the gas came from. Do you know how big that number is? And by the way, it's not the total number of stars, non-Christian quote here. Let's take a look at the total number of stars, including the ones that we can't see. No known mechanism to make a single star. Do you know how many stars there are? Do me a favor. My voice is weak. I need you to read this last word for me. I couldn't hear you. Amen. You know why? It would take an infinite God to create an infinite number of stars, to speak them into existence from nothing. And by the way, he knows them all by name. That's the God that we serve. And when God wrote in his word that the heavens declare the glory of God, he meant it. What you see in the world is consistent with what you read in the word. It is not consistent with given enough time, right circumstances. Gas can blow up and become all this. What about biology? Come on, Carl, biology. Our kids need to know biology. They need to study biology. They sure do. Slow, gradual processes over millions of years. Ape-like ancestry evolved into the black folks in Africa. Some of those black folks in Africa ate fish, spurred brain development. Got smart, moved north, turned white. And we wonder why we have a problem with racism? That is a racist philosophy, and that is evolution. You don't believe me? I will show you the videos. That's exactly what it teaches. You want to deal with critical race theory? You want to deal with all these issues we're dealing with? There's only one way. Jesus Christ is his name. We are all one race, the human race, all back to one man and one woman. And I know what some of you are thinking. No, no, no. You're a little bit too far. We don't want to be related to you. Just consider me the crazy Uncle Ernie that you only see once in your life. It's okay. Guys, did God deal with biology? Yes, he did. God said, the rallying cry of every Christian. God said what? We go back to one man. God said we go back to one woman. What I see in the world, is it consistent with what I read in the Word of God? Oh, hang on. Put your seatbelt on. They studied the Y chromosome from father to child. Y chromosome, I don't care what you look like on the outside. Every person on this planet goes back to one man. I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Mitochondrial DNA is passed from the mother to the child. I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research, because we all go back to one woman. Look, when 1 Corinthians 15:45 told us we went back to one man, he meant it. He was right. When Genesis 3:20 said we all go back to one woman, he was right. He meant it. And the evidence actually supports it. When I start with the word, I'm light years ahead of science. By the way, this is going to blow your mind. Conservative source, Huffington Post. That's a joke. They're way liberal, okay? We now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, wait for it, every person on this planet goes back to one man and one woman, and they lived at the same time. Can I get like a collective duh? Duh? Hello? It's not going to work any other way. I mean, come on. Guys. Oh, here's another one, just came out. I love this one. Everyone with blue eyes may descend from a single human ancestor. Yeah. Same with every person with brown eyes. Guys, I'm going to cut this part out because I'm saving it for the campers. You campers are something cool. Wait till I show you this one. You think we got it bad because we believe in a God that created the way that he said that he did? I'm going to let How the Universe Works, Dawn of Life, Season 4, Episode 5, I'm going to let them tell you the alternative. Adults, too bad. You're not going to get it. You're going to have to go look it up. It's really good. You think we have a problem? Oh, no. Oh, no. But Carl, geology proves slow, gradual processes over millions of years. Please, come dig dinosaur bones with us. I'm telling you, I love digging dinosaur bones. The rocks literally cry out. Every summer we take people on dinosaur digs. You will, for with your own hands, see what the rocks actually show. And they cry out. I don't do the Grand Canyon tours anymore, but I'll put you in touch with people that do. I've led, I don't know how many trips down the Grand Canyon. The rocks cry out. When you learn to look at how the rocks' formations fit, it doesn't fit with slow gradual processes. It actually fits with what God said. But here's the point. We turn over the teaching of astronomy, biology, geology to the world. Come on, that's okay. They can have that. But we are going to teach morals. We are Christians. We have morals. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't chew. We don't date girls that do. We don't like that long-haired stuff. And you better not come in here with those piercings and that tat stuff. Thank you very much. We're Christians. We got morals. Hold up. Excuse me. Don't you understand that the morals are based in the history? And if the history's not true, why are the morals true? Why is marriage one man, one woman for life? Because I think so, you think so, law of the land states it? No, because a few years ago, 30% of the people that walked into a booth to poke a hole in a sheet of paper, plug whatever it is that they did to put the new commander-in-chief in charge of us, walked in saying Jesus with their lips and voted for a man who said, I am going to change marriage. And he did. He didn't lie. But we said Jesus with our lips, but we needed change because our economy was bad. God's going to bless a people who say Jesus with their lips and vote with their hip pocket? We wonder why we are where we are today? Why is abortion wrong? I think so. You think so. Law of the land states it. By the way, if you think I'm attacking you, I'm not. I just hear this in the church. Abortion is wrong for one reason only. God created life. I have no right to destroy it. But if I lose that history of God creating life, why is it wrong? When I give the history away, I'm not going to keep the future. 50 to 88% walking away, rejecting the fact that there's a heaven, there's a hell. They're not going to accept that because they can't trust the past. When we turned over the teaching of astronomy, biology, geology to the world, and they taught it as fact, and we got relegated to teaching our little fairy tales and our fables, I'm telling you, to me, that is the point in which we dropped the ball. Because I know where I'm going. I know where I went until I was 26 years old, raised in the church, knew ritual, didn't know Jesus, and I was in the world. Because they gave me answers. When I went to church and asked a question, I heard, tsh, tsh. Good boys don't ask those questions. Children are to be seen and not heard. Excuse me, I go to the world, ask them a question, they engage. I come to church, you tell me to be quiet, you know what that tells me? You don't have an answer. Sorry, I'm not trying to be mean. You see, guys, I think we have to teach a generation how to think, not just what to think, because they are going to get confronted. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about light from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? What about a global flood? Where'd the water come from? Where'd the water go? Are you hearing me? When I ask Christians those basic questions, man, it is like lock, vapor lock. Don't worry about that. Side issue. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. The reason I'm as passionate about this as I am is for a very simple reason. About 13 years ago, my son came to me and said, Dad, you're going to be a grandfather. This is my wife and my five grandchildren. And when my son told me that I was going to be a grandparent, my heart kind of fell. I'll be honest with you, it fell. I was like, oh, I've been doing ministry for a long time, and I'm seeing the attack that this younger generation is under. What kind of a world is my grandchild going to grow up in? And it was then that the Lord totally impressed on me. It's like, Carl, you got to go after the next generation, the one above them. Why am I going out and spending, we do 24 camps in 10 weeks. Hello? Four speakers, 24 camps, 10 weeks. And trust me when I tell you that camps don't sell a lot of books. Don't get a lot of love offerings. You hear what I'm saying to you? If you want to run a ministry, you don't do it on camp. Why do we do it? Because that generation sitting right here that I had the privilege of talking to down there, they're going to impact my grandchildren more than I am. So I made the decision. I said, I got to go after this generation because they're the ones that are going to reach my generation. So I'm selfish. I wanted my grandchildren to have some people to come in and pour into their lives. And by the way, there's a reason you show the grandbaby pictures, because people are like, oh, grandbabies, how cute. And they forget how the bad stuff that I said earlier. Please don't forget about the bad stuff. You see, why do I take this so seriously? Because I see what's going on with this generation. And I want you to know the power that you have. Remember, I started off with Gabby and Abigail. The interview is done. It's done. You're going to notice in this next clip that the microphone has been put down on the table. And by the way, I make comments and then people think I'm flippant and I might be poking fun or mocking them. I made the comment about we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't, and the tats and the piercings. I'm not attacking that. I noticed, and people, you think I'm attacking you? I'm not attacking you, ma'am. I'm not. Right? Matter of fact, our latest debunked hasn't made me very popular with a certain segment. It's a sin to get a tattoo. Debunked. I think we have to be biblical in whatever it is that we, look, I have my things that I grew up with, but that doesn't mean that it's actually biblical. We have to always take what we think, what we grew up with, and compare it with what Scripture teaches. And sometimes you're going to find out, eh. So, done with the interview, microphone's down on the table, and Abigail says this. I want you to hear the opportunities that you have.
And the thing is, I have to get to work, but like, I grew up, I guess, an atheist. Now I'm like very agnostic, and I do I go to church. Like, I am a worship leader there, but like, I have
you're a worship leader.
But the hard part is,
I would have never guessed.
Like, the hard part is, it's like I can't get myself to believe it. But I've been like, I've been looking for everything, and I've been looking for someone to explain it.
She's like. No, I mean, it was just like the whole interview was like very anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti, and then I'm a worship leader at, and I cut the church out, but I'll tell you the church, Andy Stanley's church, mega, mega, mega church. She's the worship leader. And do you hear what she said? I've been looking for someone to explain it. You're a worship leader at a mega church and you can't find anybody to explain this to you? Do you hear my heart? I am telling you right now, there's somebody sitting in this room that is looking for someone to explain it. And then we're afraid to open our mouth because somebody might reject me, might mock me, might ridicule me. Get over it. Christ died for us. We've got to, the whole mocking, ridicule thing, that's Satan's realm. Don't let fear control you anymore. We have got to become bold. Here's my goal in ministry. Yes, I love apologetics. Yes, there's resources out there, curriculum and all that stuff, suggested donation. Yeah. But there's only one reason I do that stuff, and it's to see this happen. I'm not here to argue anybody into the kingdom. I'm here to present Jesus and watch him work. This is what I want to see happen.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
We heard a different message this time. I wish I had seen the end of that video with the girl. Did you call her Abigail? I am so so worried that we could have in our church setting. We talk about the power of the gospel. We talk about taking it to our neighbors and our coworkers. We talk about the value for life, our lives and the lives of other people. How is it that we could also have in our midst young people, other adults, that would sit here and sing with us, it would hug us, would appreciate whatever prayers, and still not have a foundation that is able to interact with somebody on that? That is sobering. And to know that thousands of pastors and ministry leaders would go to conferences trying to figure out what is it going to take to turn the corner on this, and all it is us preparing ourselves to engage a world that needs the answer. I am very thankful. I also want to just take a minute and say, Carl's right. A ministry that's going to reach the generations that are in his scope here. I mean, he's got stuff for all of us, the grandparents on the web. I've got the app. I've had it since last year. I saw the one on tattoos before. I mean, I thought maybe we should watch that one here. You'll want to watch it. But the point is that we can learn from this and if you have the questions, please, I don't care where you are in the scheme of life. If you've been an adult here for years and you've got questions that say, well, I never really grasped this, but ask the questions. And we are not intimidated by them. Young people, do not sit in a chair because your mom and dad are here and never process what is being told. It's an important thing. By the way, my schedule this week, I'll be available except for the times when Carl's going to be at camp. I'm going down there. Probably can't do that, but I'm tempted to do that. But at any rate, I thank you for that. But I started to say a moment ago, it's true. The camp ministries, the teen ministries, they are not able to buy books and fund a ministry and give love offerings and all that. They just don't have the means. So if God has stirred you, you can throw a donation in there, but some of you are used to giving online, and if you earmark something that you want to direct to them, we'll redirect it for you. And just wanted you to be aware of that. Carol, thank you. And I'm going to thank your wife as well for sharing you again with people this week. But let's pray. Father, the service ends, but the invitation never does. And we know that you have given us a message that's worth sharing. I pray for the Abigails or whoever they are, the ones represented in the video today, plugged into a church, but unplugged from you. Don't understand how it happens. But Lord, do not let that be a character trait at Calvary. I pray that we would be excited, looking, creating opportunities for this. Dismiss us now, not just with a blessing, but with a heart that looks at the people we will touch this week, knowing that you've given us a mission. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.